I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. This is National Poetry Month. It is a month-long national celebration of poetry established by the Academy of American Poets. The purpose of it is to read poetry, to listen to living poets, to listen to poets who are no longer living, to celebrate our complex poetry heritage, to write poems. It's a really good endeavor. And we, this hour, are delighted to have two guests with us to talk about poetry. We'll be listening to some of their poetry. We'll listen to other poets. And if you are a poet, we are all poets, but every time we do a poetry show, we have people call and contribute with some really splendid compositions, just so long as they're not really long. We would love to hear from you as well. Our guests this hour include one of Milwaukee's Poets Laureate. He will be in this position, is already actually, and will be in this position until 2015. Our guest is Jeff Poniewosz, which is Polish for because. That's nice, isn't it? He is a Milwaukeean, was born here, and for many years taught literature of ecological vision and a course on Walt Whitman and poets inspired by Whitman at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. He has published just all over the place, Earth First, Greenpeace Chronicles, Los Angeles Times, Blake Times, and the list goes on. He has been praised by Allen Ginsberg for his passion, prescient, ecological, Whitman-esque, Thoreauvian, Vervin wit. That's great. He's won a number of awards. A volume of his selected poems will be published in the fall of 2013. He founded the Earth Poets and Musicians Group that has given annual Earth Day performances since 1988, and he's very fond of the fact that Poetry Month and Earth Day Month coincide. Jeff, thank you very much. Happy National Poetry Month to you.
Well, welcome, and thank you to National Poetry Month yourself and everyone who's listening in. You know, T.S. Eliot said that April is the cruelest month, and
yes,
it certainly was a couple days ago in Boston.
Yes.
And all over the world on any given day. But April does have Poetry Month to it and Earth Day Month, and the fact that they coincide is always been something I've been very fond of, because, you know, poetry at its foundation has nature and the expression of the love of it. And of course there are poems on many different things that don't specifically address nature, but that's where it came from, and there is some very beautiful poetry that comes from that.
Yes, there is indeed. And also, I'm interested that you mentioned the tragedy that we have been through this week, yet another tragedy. We often turn to poetry not only for nature, but for death and for love and for the inexplicable at times, and for allowing us to understand what it is we're feeling in common with those who live before us, who may be able to shed light, and those who are living now. It can get to our core, can't it?
Yes. Well, the best poetry takes us deep as we can get, and it certainly can be consoling in times of discouragement or grief. And yes, so discouragement is often something that people who are aware of the environmental situation must try to resist and try to help others resist, because there is certainly a formidable spectrum of things going on environmentally. The most urgent, of course, being global warming, and so yes, I have devoted my life to that, to the literature of it by others, and in my Ecolit course, it was always half nonfiction. Say, for instance, although Leopold, John Muir, Rachel Carson,
mm-hmm.
and half poetry. And it was a wide spectrum of the most beautiful and moving nature poems and poems that focus on the environment beyond just simply praise of nature, but defense of it.
Mm-hmm. And who are some of the poets who would be included in the ecological vision?
Starting with Walt Whitman, And on from Walt Whitman, there would be D.H. Lawrence, who is better known as a novelist than a poet, but has written some magnificent nature poems and poems that anticipate the downside of the Industrial Revolution, which, of course, the Romantic poets of England were beginning to get inklings of at the very beginning of the 1800s. And I do include some of them. And also there would be, in more modern times, Allen Ginsberg and Gary Snyder, Wendell Berry, who all else? Lou Welch, who is a lesser-known member of the Beat group, but like Gary Snyder, is a really wonderful wilderness poet, and who died in 1971 prematurely. So it was poets like Allen Ginsberg, Robert Bly, Galway Connell, who were coming through Milwaukee in the late 1960s, who really inspired me to how powerful poetry could be to express not only the beauty of nature, but what was happening to it. And it was like with the Vietnam War, it happened at the same time. The poets, not all poets, but poets such as the ones I named, were in the vanguard of the most progressive, urgent issues of the day, of civil rights, mm-hmm. women's rights, even gay rights, incipiently, and the environment. And I would like to share with you and your listeners a part of a poem by Allen Ginsberg that he wrote the month before the very first Earth Day.
Sure, love to hear it.
Okay. Well, this is partially how it goes. What prayer restores freshness to eastern meadow, soil to cindered acres, hemlock to rusty hillside, transparency to Passaic stream bed, blue whale multitudes to coral gulfs? What mantra bring back murdered, suicided millions from the war-torn fields of Sheol? Boys die bullet-eyed, mothers scream realization, the vast tonnage of napalm, the karma of state violence, washing terror waves round Earth globe, back to suburb TV home night kitchens. Earth pollution identical with mind pollution, consciousness pollution identical with filthy sky, dirty thoughted usury simultaneous with metal dust and water courses, mace repression of Gnostic street boys identical with DDT extinction of bald eagle, mother's milk poisoned as father's thoughts. What can poetry do? How flowers survive? How man see right mind, hear his heart's music, taste ancient natural grain bread and sweet vegetables, smell his own baby body's tender neck skin, when 60% state money goes to heaven on gas clouds burning off war machine smokestacks? So that was quite on the button of the connection between the war and the environment.
Yes.
And how war is a huge, besides being, you know, just disastrous, but a huge distraction from what's going on to our planet, what's going on to the matrix of life that sustains human life.
Yeah, I'd want you to read, if you have it handy, too, whatever poem you would choose, but we have here The Last Endangered Species, Glass, which will precede Earth Day, but I'd like for you to get your hands on that and read it to us. That this is one of Milwaukee's Poets Laureate joining us this hour as we celebrate National Poetry Month, and he will be doing poetry talking about poetry, doing his own poetry and others during the course of this month, and of course beyond, because he's the poet laureate for a couple of years now. Jeff Ponyevash, also joining us this hour. This is a wonderful program. This year, at a time when arts are being cut really at schools all over this country, the inaugural class of National Student Poets is with us, five teenagers who are serving as literary ambassadors for poetry, and they're spending the month of April spreading the word about their craft. We are delighted that we have one of those young poets with us. Natalie Richardson is going to be all over the Midwest. She is from the Midwest. She, halfway through volleyball season of her sophomore year, sprained her ankle and she couldn't play, so on a whim she joined her high school's spoken word club. And this summer, the Oak Park and River Forest High School senior was named a National Student Poet by the President's Committee on the Arts and the Humanities. She accepted the award at the National Book Festival in Washington, D.C. And she studied poetry in school, but didn't think about this as more than coursework until she joined the Spoken Word Club. She has been part of this wonderful, and we did a program on this some time ago, Louder Than a Bomb program, which is fantastic. It's in Chicago and probably other places. She's been on the SLAM team for 2 years, and she is joining us to talk about young people and poetry and to read some of her poetry as well. Natalie, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, isn't it weird how things happen in life? You couldn't play volleyball because you sprained your ankle, so look what you did instead. Yeah. It's not volleyball. It's completely different, right?
It's completely different. a big switch for me, but definitely I'd say one of the best things that happened to me in my high school experience.
Had you always read poetry? Did you read it when you were a young person?
No. I hated poetry.
Really?
We would learn about it in English class, and I would hate it, and I would be frustrated, and joining Spoken Word Club was what introduced me to contemporary poetry and modern poetry, and it really showed me that poetry can be cool. So it wasn't until I joined Spoken Word Club and until I was on my school SLAM team that I really began to read poetry and appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And this is interesting, a Spoken Word Club. Can you tell me what it is?
Yes. The Spoken Word Club at my school, I go to Oak Park and River Forest High School, is a club of about 65 members, and it's one of the most diverse clubs at our school, so it draws, you know, kids from different socioeconomic backgrounds, kids from different racial backgrounds, honors kids, non-honors kids, AP kids, and we meet twice a week after school for about 2.5 hours, and we write poetry together. And three times a year, we put on a showcase in one of our school's theaters, which consists of group pieces. So of the 65 members in the club, we'll split up into groups of four, and each group will do a performance-based poetry piece, which is usually comprised of personal stories, personal narratives, shared poetically using rhythm, vocal techniques, movements, etc. Yeah, it's really amazing.
I know there was a documentary, and we interviewed the people who put together the documentary a couple years ago, I guess it was now. Has this spread to competitions all over the country, or is it primarily Chicago area?
Louder Than a Bomb, which is in the Chicago area, is the largest teen poetry slam in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
We have the largest one here. However, there are tons around the country, and Louder Than a Bomb itself is an organization that's looking to spread itself globally as well. I think next year they're trying to create one in India, and in addition to several more cities around the U.S. So, yeah, it's definitely a movement that's starting to spread and starting to take root, not just in the United States, but around the world as well.
What do you write about, Natalie?
Mostly personal experience. I write a lot of personal narrative. However, this year I experimented with personification, which is, so I would write, for instance, my poem this year that I performed at Louder Than a Bomb was one in which I took on the persona of Ray Charles.
Really?
So, Yeah, so I delved into a little bit of persona and personification, which I think is a ton of fun, and I would like to do it again. It's challenging. It's more challenging, especially for the stage, to not only write as someone else, but then become someone else on stage. You know, like, spoken word is not just about what's written on the page, but it's about how you portray it to the audience and your entire kind of energy on the stage. And that's why I really enjoyed the persona poems, because they take it to a whole another level of challenge, you know?
Right. So what do you want to... I'll give you a second here. We have to pause for a little announcement. What will you be performing for us?
I will be performing two poems. One is called Learning Black, or How Come I Feel It In Me? And that's one that I performed on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. for my National Student Poet inauguration. And the other one, I will be performing Ray, so the one that I did this year for Louder Than a Bomb.
Are you going to do Ray for us?
Yep.
Oh, I was going to ask you to do that because it sounds incredibly intriguing. Okay, hold on.
Sure.
We'll welcome phone calls as well. Natalie Richardson, another of our poet guests this hour, National Student Poet, one of five. And I must tell you, it's a huge honor because there were something like 20,000 people who participated in this, and she's one of five. I can't wait to hear her do the personification of Ray Charles. That'll be good, huh? Well, welcome phone calls as well. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Our email, talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. We are celebrating National Poetry Month, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Natalie Richardson will now present some poetry. National Student Poet, and Natalie, you're on.
Okay. So this first one is called Learning Black, or How Come I Feel It In Me. The rim's up till 6 or 7 or 8. They stay until the cops come. Stretch last shots, even as the uniforms exit their car doors to string down the hoops. The black boys sidle back to their side of town by the green line. 2 corners north of my front steps is where they congregate. A kink smooth court on the corner. By dark, they are gone. But how hushed the corner is when they leave. How lonely the streets are. How much passing by drivers wish for their gleam again. Their studded language of rhythm. This drum that is theirs. We wait, hushed, till next afternoon once school is out and the trains come pounding with black boys, strong, wired black boys with black fingers and black heads like halos threaded with black silk. We wait for the black boys with black backs that sheen like all things royal. We wait for the black to come back. Save us with this drum that is yours, black boys. Those black threaded lines on your basketball pulsing in the brown of your hands. Listen, I can hear it throbbing those prayers like mothers do, like mothers do. This black is good. This black is dangerous. The black that makes you shiver with all things holy. This black is holy. This black is the burning pit black of Daddy in an office elevator where he meets my mama for the first time. That Motown sugared black she smells in him. Taste its sweetened cry. It is the color my eyes dim when I see a black boy for the first time. Not brown, but black. His knuckles red suns beneath a black-backed hand. His head a god of its own, throning the lean of him, governing those limbs with spitfire and course. He is wrapped in all things holy. This is the black I do not learn until it's in me. My mama telling me I am this for the first time. My veins a train line or prayer for these black words, these black fists, this black of my father. His black, this. And that's it.
Oh, that is, you are really good. You are really good.
Thanks.
Yeah. Do you labor over the words for a long time, or does it just sort of flow forth?
It really depends on the day. Some days I can really get in the groove and the words will kind of just come. But other days, it's a lot more difficult, and it takes a lot more for the words to come. For this poem, I think because it has such like a rhythm to it, the words came a little bit more naturally because I could just kind of flow into the rhythm and come up with them. But for others, again, it's a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to do the Ray Charles personification?
Yeah.
Because I want to hear it.
Okay. All right. So this one, I just called this Ray. And this is the one that I did throughout the Louder Than a Bomb ceremony. So, yeah, here it is. Indiana hotel room. I was burst cold and north backstage. My veins whipping blues that night. The high was slow going, quick lasting, cold stuff. I was born here. Music ain't the only thing I was born in. You ever felt that cool, that dark? Chicago. I'm widening fingers, plucking and pounding this piano, my love, my thick-hipped woman. At night, when no one is rustling, I go to her, graze her black thighs with mine, her music like a prayer, like eyes to me, like light. It's like my whole days are spent throating blues, my nights turning. Have you ever loved what you cannot see? I was born into blues, but I'll be. Some days, I swear it ain't enough. You ever love something so hard, your whole body shakes? Los Angeles. I was hot and south. And strong, yellowed with sick that took my eyes from me, the sick that takes eyes. The light is hiding from me, the blues calling, the blues are calling, all these dark blues and purples, all these lonely avenues, calling and calling and howling, and I cannot see them, so I listen, and I cannot see them, and I cannot see, I'm black and I'm blind, somebody tell them I was born here, tell the blues I was born here, tell the blues I'm sorry, tell the blues not to take me, tell the blues to take me, the blues have already taken me, I could die, I could die, I could die, oh, I could die, I was born into blues, and I will die into this, you ever open your eyes, wide as a barrel. Ain't no light coming in. And that's that one.
Oh, I can see how you did. And how did you enter the mind and the soul of Ray Charles? Did you listen to him a lot? Did you listen to the music?
Yes. This past summer, I really, really fell in love with blues music, and specifically Ray Charles. And so, yeah. My coaches challenged my team to write personification poems, write persona poems, and it just felt natural to me to take on the persona of a blues musician because at the time that's kind of all that I was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, listening to his music, and I watched interviews with him on YouTube. I read, you know, read things that he said, and I read his lyrics. So, yeah, all of those things really helped me get in the mindset of Ray and imagine how he felt or what he might say.
What a wonderful way to teach people empathy too, isn't it? Teach young people, other poets, other students.
Yeah, well, I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me introduce the two of you. I don't know if you know each other. Natalie Richardson is the young poet you've heard performing. She is a student at Oak Park. You can hear the announcements in the background. I think she's at school.
I know.
It's fine. It's fine. It puts you in a place here that we understand. She's at Oak Park and River Forest High Schools and is one of five national student poets, which is the country's highest honor for youth poets whose work exhibits exceptional creativity, dedication to the craft, and also promise. She performed. She got her award last summer. She performed on the National Mall. She's with us, and we are going to also hear more poetry and welcome phone calls. Jeff Ponyevash is a Milwaukee-born poet who was chosen to be one of two Poets Laureate for the Milwaukee Public Library, and he does just has been published all over the place and has a particular interest in teaching about poets who addressed our natural world, and he writes a lot about those as well. Let me ask both of you, and starting with you, Jeff, both of you will have a mission this year and beyond to bring poetry to people, to get people to write poetry. What do you see as your mission, and how do you spread poetry, Jeff?
Okay, first of all, I want to say, Natalie, that those were terrific poems.
Thank you.
And it's such a sign of hope that some high schools in America have an opportunity for poets like yourself, or just people who don't even know they are poets at first, mm-hmm. to blossom. And so that's terrific, because, you know, science, we got to spend more money on science and so forth, but I think poetry and the arts are just as important.
Yes.
Okay, so the main thing is a poet could go around giving workshops, which is something very valuable, as you could see from Natalie's story. It was in a workshop, sort of, not workshop sounds too worky, play shop is also a good word for it, where people get together and they write right off the top of their heads and come up with something with some guidance from a mentor who oversees what they're doing. Another thing is just to go around giving poetry readings. And, you know, when I was a young poet, poets were appearing much more often in our cities than they are now, probably because of the economy or whatever the reason is. And that was so inspiring. Even if you went to a reading where you didn't like the poet or you didn't like his or her poetry, you might learn something off of that steers you more in the direction you want to go. So I intend to give some readings during the coming year. As a matter of fact, I have a couple coming up. One is this weekend, and if I could just plug that real briefly here so I make sure I get this in. Okay, it's on next Saturday, April 20th, 8 p.m. at the Coffee House. Well, let me tell you first, this is an Earth Extravaganza. It's the 25th anniversary performances by a group I founded in 1988 called the Earth Poets, and now we're called the Earth Poets and Musicians since we acquired a couple of outstanding ones. Anyway, this is at 8 p.m. Saturday, April 20th at the Coffee House at 631 North 19th Street. It's the oldest extant countercultural coffee house in America. It started in 1967. In any case, they do mostly poetry and acoustic music there.
Mm-hmm.
On the occasion, we'll be performing myself, Yames Finlayson, who is known also from the Kofi dance troupe, and is a very wonderful magician of percussion. And then we also have on board Louisa Loveridge Gallus, Holly Habig Wake, who is an amazing singer, Jeff Ponyevash, that's me, Suzanne Rosenblatt, and Harvey Taylor. And we will have as our special guest Julio Paban. The donation is $5. So it's right on the corner of 19th and Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, Natalie, what will you be doing in terms of visiting the Midwest, visiting students? What is the mission of one of the winners of such a prestigious honor?
Well, the purpose of my year as a National Student Poet is to act as a student, as a poet ambassador. So just as you said, to kind of spread the word and spread the mission. And I will be doing that by, as just said, conducting workshops and kind of enveloping non-poets into the poet community, both in Chicago and outside of Chicago. This weekend, I'll be coming to Detroit to do some workshops there with some high school kids that I'm really excited about. And in addition to that, I'll be traveling. I believe I might be going to Indiana, and a ton of work here in the Chicago area as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what was the celebration like on the National Mall? That must have been, boy, you'll never forget that as long as you live, huh?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, I tell you, I've been so impressed with the program, and I'm obviously, you know, so lucky to have been chosen. I think a lot of it was luck, but it has just been incredible to see how many dedicated, important adults in New York and in Washington, D.C., and in Chicago, you know, are dedicated to this program. And to be on the National Mall and to be surrounded by, you know, the President's Committee and Scholastic, and it was just incredible. The support, I think, yeah, the biggest thing that I took away from that was just the support that I now have as a national student poet, and the support that these adults hope to give to tons of other young artists and writers in the country, which is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't underestimate your talents. There were 300, I only said 20,000, there were 300,000 students who were eligible for this, and 5 were chosen, so it's okay to say
it's a huge honor. It's fantastic.
Yeah. We welcome callers. Please feel free to join our conversation as we celebrate National Poetry Month this hour of the program. We can hear you talk about, and particularly, although you may be teaching right now, I'm interested in how poetry is incorporated into the classroom in schools all over Wisconsin and beyond, or if you found that it's hard to incorporate that. Don't you think that the program that Natalie has been involved with, this Spoken Word Club and also Louder Than a Bomb, they're terrific competitions. They are terribly exciting programs, and to see it go all over the world would be a really good thing. Or you may have a poem. Let's not make them really long because we're, you know, somewhat short on time, but we'd like to hear your poems as well because that makes it all part of a celebration. Our number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page, if you'd like to leave a message there or leave a poem there, there's a good idea. That would really celebrate the month, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Let's start our calls with Joe in La Crosse. Hi, Joe.
Hi. This describes what I saw one afternoon while I was watching my Labrador out in the backyard. The black dog lies in the green grass. He sniffs the cool breeze. His head jerks around. The fly escapes. His head flops back down. The sun warms his dark body. The afternoon is young. Then the butterfly lands on his nose. I titled it Trying to Nap.
I like it very much. What's your dog's name?
Ben.
Oh, that's a good name, too, for
I named him after your host that just retired.
Yeah. All right. Nice. Thank you, Joe, very much.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Let's go to Martha in Neenah next. Hi, Martha.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just calling to tell all your listeners that this week is the Fox Cities Book Festival, and it will include poetry readings and poetry workshops.
Oh, nice. Great.
The best way to learn about it is at the Fox City Book Festival website, foxcitybookfestival.org.
foxcitybookfestival.org. And tell me about the workshops. People learn how to write poetry, or?
There are some that are workshops, and then there are poetry readings. There are quite a few poets coming.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thanks very much for the
call.
What do you think? Let me ask both of you this, starting with you, Jeff. How hard is it to write poetry? Are we all, do you think, poets?
I think we all have, in varying degrees, the poetic spark within us. If you respond to a poem and don't write poetry, but you really appreciate it, then you have that poet inside you.
Yes.
And that poet resonates with the words of poetry written by others. Now, for instance, the Milwaukee Symphony, not everybody writes symphonies, but they fill Eline Hall. And there are people there who might not even read music, but they love it. And so, yeah, that's how that one is. Could I just read a short little poem of mine? Because I didn't realize that by reading Allen Ginsberg at the beginning, I might go through the show without reading one of my poems.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Okay. This is called, this, I wrote this in 75, and this was published in Greenpeace Chronicles. And some poems are just sheer imagination. You write off the top of your head. And other poems are things that actually happened that you have to find the precise words to write down. And that's what this poem is. It's called The Last Endangered Species Glass. 3 years ago, two friends gave me a set of six endangered species glasses, each glass etched with the picture and name of one of the species near extinction. The oryx was the first to bite the dust. A friend laughed so hard at something I said, it slipped full of wine from her fingers. A few months later, the cheetah fleeted faster than my reflex to catch it. The polar bear was the loser in a battle with an ice cube tray. The whooping crane flew out of my hand as I wildly gestured a poem. The eagle was the last to go. I broke it against the faucet while doing the dishes. Each time one of those glasses broke, I got a lesson in fragility, a shattered metaphor for what extinction means. And now only the tiger remains, and it's chipped.
Mm. Oh, that's quite an ending, and it's chipped. Sometimes it makes the urgency of the issue all that more urgent and striking when you put it in poems, poetry form, doesn't it?
Right, and that these things are happening while we go about our daily routine. And every way that a glass broke in that poem actually happened, and all of a sudden it dawned on me the immense irony of the way they went, and just putting them together in the most succinct words, and precise words that I could think of, makes for a poem. That's a kind of poem. There are many different kinds of poems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that one. Let's go to Anson in Waukesha next. Hi, Anson.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to announce that I've been a member of an open poetry group in Waukesha, and it's actually probably the only poetry group of its kind that's not like maybe a poetry slam or something where people can just come and comfortably read their poems and share them with people. You know, it's like a sit-down discussion about poetry. We usually start off with a discussion or a challenge, like somebody will pitch a challenge on our Facebook page where we would have to provide some kind of specific challenge for next month. It's the second Saturday of every month. So the one for this month already passed. But for next month, on May 11th, the poetry challenge is going to be a memory challenge. And then we discuss our own poetry that we have written for the month. And then, or we share it, and then we discuss a poet of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So the poet of this month is Maya Angelou.
Oh, great.
So, if anybody is interested, it is in Waukesha on the Carroll College campus at a place called the Book Cafe. And it's at 4 p.m. every second Saturday of the month. And it's just been growing. We've been doing it for a little bit over a year, and we have just been getting more and more people enthused, young people been coming, and college students, high school students, senior citizens, everybody. It's just been a really great time.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear about that. That's wonderful. I would imagine that because you are so successful and Louder Than a Bomb has been so successful, that poetry is on the up and up in your part of the world. Is it not, Natalie?
Yes. I think Louder Than a Bomb has fortunately brought a lot of attention and a lot of media to youth poetry in the area. So I think a lot of high schools in my area, I should say, from the beginning of Louder Than a Bomb, you know, it started with just 12 teens, and this past year there were 110 teens, which just goes to show, you know, more high schools are getting spoken word programs, more high schools are putting together slam teams.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's exactly that. It's becoming a bigger movement and something that more people are learning and paying attention to.
Mm-hmm. What poets do you pay attention to, Natalie?
Oh, well, I love, love, love Patricia Smith. She is my favorite. I've done workshops with Terrence Hayes, and I think he's incredible. Roger Benaregard, I think, is incredible. A. Van Jordan, Yusef Komunyaka, all of the above are probably... Oh, Natasha Trethewey, the Poet Laureate of the United States. I recently read all of her books. All of the above, I think, are incredible poets that everyone should read.
Yeah. Thanks, Anson, very much for your call. Let's go to Ed in Four Corners, Wisconsin. Hi, Ed.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say it's such a joy to hear Jeff Pranevich's voice, and I have to bow to him because he's a great asset not only to Wisconsin but specifically to Milwaukee. That he also helped preserve the Frederick Law Olmsted-designed Riverside Park and was instrumental in establishing the Riverside Park Environmental Education Center. So Jeff is a poet with a capital P, and I would just like to read a short little haiku and say hello to Jeff. And my little haiku is in honor of spring, snow melt. Water rushing over smooth, polished stone. The great blue heron takes a step.
Nice.
Nice, yes.
Yeah.
Hi there. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, he said nice things about you. So you not only write poetry, you're actively involved in taking care of the earth, aren't you, Jeff?
For instance, I brainstormed a rainforest concert that consisted of neglected but magnificent scores that have to do specifically with the rainforest. And I, after about 9 years of attempts, I finally got the Milwaukee Symphony to stage it with the chorus and orchestra in March of 97. And, I also was for a long time someone who was trying to get the Humboldt Yards on the southeast corner of Humboldt and North so that they wouldn't sell it down the river, but alas, they finally did. But that's another story. So you win some and you lose some, and you just keep forging ahead.
Right. Thanks very much for your call, Ed. Let's go to Daryl in Wautoma. Hi, Daryl.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't pretend to be a poet in any way, but a few years ago I woke up and these words kind of came into my head, and so I got up and I wrote this out. And really, what it is, it's a reflection on the Iraq War, and I titled it "A Mother's War." He's born and he grows only too fast. You look to his future, reflect on the past. Now a grown man, he makes you so proud. But soon leaves home and blends with the crowd. He strolls by the store where the soldiers all stand, walks in, says, "I'll lend you a hand." He goes to a camp where he trains very well, then soon is sent off to the gates of hell. The troops are strong, the women, the men. They do what they're told, they do what they can. He patrols the streets along with his crew. The roadside bombs are deadly and true. More than 4,000 now counts the toll. Once they had faces, now only a soul. He comes home today in a box with a tag. At the playing of taps, they'll hand you a flag. He grew too soon and way too fast. Now all you have, now all you can do is reflect on the past.
Hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That is it. Thank you, Daryl, very much for your poetry and for reading it on the air. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Our email, talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is National Poetry Month, and we have two poets well-known who are joining us, and we're inviting you to talk about poetry festivals that may be taking place, or how you're taught poetry, or how we can write poetry, all of that this hour of the show. Natalie Richardson is a student at Oak Park and River Forest High Schools, one of five national student poets, which is a terrific honor for her. She also, when she is not writing poetry, she likes to paint, to draw, to debate philosophy with her opposite-minded twin sister. She has a twin. And she also likes to travel. She hopes one day to sell her art in a festival, travel to Chile, and to dive the Great Barrier Reef. I have a feeling she'll do all of that. Jeff Ponyevash is a Milwaukee-born poet, recently chosen to be one of two Poets Laureate for the Milwaukee Public Library. He has a great number of published works, including Dolphin Leaping in the Milky Way, and his poems have appeared in a number of anthologies. More calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Before we go back to phone calls, Natalie, are you a senior this year?
I am, yes.
What, and next year?
Next year, I will be attending the University of Chicago.
All right. Now, can you make a life with your poetry? Do you want to make a life with your poetry?
You know, everybody asks me that,
yeah.
And I'm not sure. As I love poetry, and I feel like it is a huge part of who I am, and it's definitely made me the person that I am today. But I have a lot of other interests. I think that I will definitely double major or minor in some sort of creative writing, but I don't think that's the only thing I'll do. I would love to teach at a college level, hopefully. I also love science. So I'm kind of all over the place at this point. And my parents keep telling me that's okay because I'm only 17 and I'm not supposed to know what I want to do with my life yet. But I'm hoping to figure that out in the next few years. University of Chicago has a great core program, so I can hopefully delve in a lot of different subjects and figure out what I like and what I don't like.
Well, I'm sure you'll have one heck of a future with a lot of meaning. Jerry Ann in South Milwaukee. Hi, Jerry Ann.
Hi, how are you today?
All right, how are you?
Good. I'm so enjoying this program.
Good.
I am not a poet, but years ago, when I was in journalism school, I had to take a class and write poetry, and a poem that I wrote back then really came back and hit home to me this past winter when someone on the street asked me for some money, 75 cents. He just wanted 75 cents so he could get take a bus where he needed to go, and he was obviously a down-and-out person, and I gave my stock answer. I'm sorry, I don't have any money with me. And I walked on, and I said, what is wrong with me? 75 cents. What is 75 cents to me? And all this guilt and shame came flooding in on me, and this poem came back into my head. And I would like to read it. It's relatively short.
Sure.
It's called Convicted. I saw him there in grease-stained jeans with grizzled chin and gaunt cheeks creased. He rummaged through the garbage can with hunger shaking at his hand. Man, how glad I am no one required I take a stand. Oh, I could have handed him some bread. I had the dough. But who's to know he wouldn't blow it on Jim Beam or extra smokes? No, I wash my hands of that bad blood. The street lights wink. I think by dawn his form should fade.
That's a good one. Who hasn't been there, right?
Yep, yep. And boy, I'm telling you, it changed. I ran to my car and got a sack of money that I used for toll roads fees, and I ran back, and I wasn't sure I would be able to find the man, but I did, and I just handed him the whole sack and said,
"Whoa,
best wishes to you." I couldn't believe how horrible I had been.
Yeah.
How miserly. Anyway, and who knows how he was going to spend it, but that wasn't the point.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jerry Ann. Thank
you.
I
love listening to the poetry.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And a compliment, too, for you that I want to read to you, Natalie. Laura writes in on Facebook and says of your Ray, incredible, simply incredible. Thank you for performing this on the air for us. And John writes, the young woman is amazing. Hearing her read her poems puts shivers up my spine. I think that we will hear more about her in the coming years.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Yeah, so that should give you encouragement, I would think, as if you needed more. Well, everybody, we are almost at the end, but we talk about poetry. We love to talk about poetry on this program. We'll look forward to hearing from both of you again, and happy National Poetry Month, and happy Poet Laureate to you, Jeff, for it's a while now. You have, what, a year, 2 years, huh?
Yes, and Earth Day Month, don't forget that.
And Earth Day Month as well. Yeah, there are many things about this month. Thank you both very much, Natalie
and
Jeff.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Jeff Ponyevash is a Milwaukee-born poet. He is the Poet Laureate, one of two, actually, for the Milwaukee Public Library. He's a widely published poet and professor as well for a number of years at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He also founded the Earth Poets and Musicians Group that's given annual Earth Day performances for a number of years. Natalie Richardson is one of, and there were so many people who applied for this. There are five student national poets, and she is one of them. She is from the Chicago area, a student at Oak Park and River Forest High Schools, one of five national student poets, the country's highest honor for young poets. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Veronica Rickert and Ms. Katie Mattson for producing this program. Until tomorrow.